May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening by singing hymn number 321. 321. My soul, Lord, in flame, with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love. To lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. Hymn 321.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the Gospel according to St. John, part of chapter 14 and part of chapter 15. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, commencing to read at verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, do graciously enable us to call upon thee in reverence, in godly fear, in living faith, in sincerity. We ask thy presence, thy felt presence, here this evening. We pray for the gracious Holy Spirit to enable us to worship thee. Lord, do enable us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Do in mercy separate us unto thyself. Grant even now that repentance we need, that we might be found even now turning from our sin unto thee. O Lord, and we do pray that thou wouldst powerfully speak thy word into our very hearts. Lord, thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest, Lord, where there is in the heart of any here that aching void. And Lord, if thou would speak into that aching void, it wouldn't any longer be an aching void. Oh, fill us, Lord, with thyself. Lord, what an emptiness there is in everything else. And what a fullness there is in thee. It has pleased thee, Lord Jesus. It has pleased thy Father that in thee should all fullness dwell. And we pray that we may receive out of that fullness. O Lord, thou didst when here on earth eat with publicans and sinners, meet with them. Thou didst go into their houses. Thou didst get into their hearts. Lord, we pray. Oh, come into our house. Come into our heart. Fill our heart with thyself. Enter thyself and cast out the sin that our hearts are full of. Turn out the buyers and the sellers. Overturn the tables of the money changers. Lord, fill us. Oh Lord, we pray to know something of what the psalmist knew. My cup runneth over. Lord, oh, we confess with shame we are completely unworthy of this. But Lord, it is thy worth. Thou hast said, not for your sakes do I this, but for my great name's sake. We plead thy great name, Almighty God, as thou dost reveal thyself in the person of thy dear Son, by thy Spirit. Bless this people. Lord, may they have words in season spoken to them by thee tonight. And Lord, do grant them that the blessed assurance that it is thee that is speaking. And Lord, thou hast the tongue of the learned, that able to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Lord, do help weary sinners here this evening. Strengthen them with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. And do bless the weary with rest. Thou said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, may the gospel go forth this night with the power of the Holy Ghost, that sinners shall come unto thee and find rest, and take thy yoke upon them, and learn of thee. We thank thee for all thy many mercies to us. Thou hast not dealt with any of us after our sins. Just one sin, Lord, is enough for thee to justly banish us forever from thy presence into the darkness of hell. Lord, we thank thee then that we are out of that deserved place. And still found on praying ground. We do thank thee for the throne of grace, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, the blessed high priest and king. Lord, we pray, give us a sight this night for that great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, that we may hold fast our profession. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst continue thy mercy to us. We ask thy watchful care over us still and thy help thy kind provision. And do still go before us in the way and lead us on safely. We are sojourners. There is none on earth abiding. The place that knows us now will soon henceforth know us no more forever. But thy mercy, Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear thee, and to those that remember thy commandments to do them. We pray for grace so to do, and ask that thou wouldst prepare us for all thy will in the remainder of our life. Prepare us to die. Lord, in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in his blood. We pray for this church and people. Be very merciful and gracious to them. Direct them, Lord, as a church to do thy will. Provide for them a living ministry. Lord, the Holy Ghost, Lord, we pray thy blessing on the labours of their deacons. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the word in this place, whether it be preached by one of thy servants this day or read from the previous labours of thy servants. And do in this way bless thy church throughout the earth. And thou hast bidden us pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest, for truly the labourers are few, and truly the harvest is great. O Lord, we pray, called by grace, and call to the ministry those whom thou hast eternally appointed. Make them able ministers of the New Testament. Give them a living experience of Christ. And Lord, the opening of a door of utterance and the sending forth thy appointed time and way. Remember absent ones, we commend to thee those that are at home, perhaps caring for little ones or in affliction. Be with them, bless them, help them, bless the families. And remember those away seeking rest and change. Watch over and keep them still, and grant thy blessing upon them. They may indeed have rest and no profit from the change. Lord, and grant thy safe return at the appointed time. Remember visiting friends, bless their time in these parts, especially in thy house this evening. And Lord, do good throughout the earth in thy one church. We plead thy mercy, Lord, in these solemn times. Thy church is that vineyard of red wine. Do keep it every moment and water it, lest any hurt it. And Lord, we have to mourn as those in Psalm 80 did. Why hast thou broken down her hedges, so that they that pass by the way do spoil her? And the boar out of the wood doth waste her. But Lord, there was a turning. Thou didst indeed look upon the man of thy right hand, and the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. 'Tis thy own son, and he shall stand girded with truth of thy right hand. Lord, revive Zion, revive us personally. Grant us more grace, we do pray, godly fear, living faith. Make us valiant for the truth in the love of it. Make us humble. Make us submissive. Make us childlike in spirit. Make us harmless as doves and wise as serpents. And let us love thee more, if indeed we love at all. And if we have not loved before, help us to begin today. Lord, sanctify thy judgments which are abroad in the earth. Could it please thee to yet restrain evil, turn back the tide of iniquity, and protect us each from it, especially we pray this for the young ones. Order their steps in thy word. Bless them early in life with a living faith in Jesus Christ, and love to him and his people, as that is, give it to Ruth. Pardon all we ask amiss, where we fail to make up in giving. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 377. 377. My soul, take courage from the Lord. Believe and plead his holy word. To him alone do thou complain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Hymn 377.
in dependence on the Lord. I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The hymn writer says, doesn't he? What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? What more could Jesus say than this? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I said to my own people on the Lord's Day, to save his people, God hath done as much as he possibly could. He spared not his own dear son. He so loved his church, loved them with a love that which was equal to his love to his son. He spared not his son. And now his son speaks the will of his father. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And how beautifully the hymn writer puts it, concerning the name of Jesus. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. But the Saviour's words in this verse begin with that little word, if. If. Not even the Lord's people always do what the Lord says. Jesus, on one occasion, he said to his own disciples, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. The Apostle James, in his epistle by the Holy Spirit, says, ye ask and have not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. If ye shall ask anything. You know, if we believe we are praying to the Lord and we do not get what we ask for, this is one of the things which we need to be brought to examine ourselves concerning. We know that the Lord waits to be gracious. We know that he himself teaches the need to keep praying. But you know, the Lord, he doesn't keep his people waiting for an answer indefinitely. James Bourne says something like this, how troubled he was, how grieved he was to hear people say, I pray to the Lord, but he doesn't answer me. And in his usual faithfulness, that godly man warned, are you right in your asking? If ye shall ask anything in my name. Well, who are those who do ask in his name? And when is it that they ask in his name? The Apostle Paul gives us by the Spirit instruction regarding this question, doesn't he? He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, no one ever really prays in the Lord's name except as the dear Holy Ghost puts it in their heart. He indicts it there. The apostle said he makes intercession. Not intercession like the Saviour does in heaven, appearing in the place of his people at the right hand of God, standing between in garments dyed in blood. No, maketh intercession for them. You think of it, my dear friend, Jesus' intercession in heaven is Jesus standing in the place of his people, appearing in the place of his people, and the Holy Ghost making intercession in people's hearts. It's the Holy Ghost appearing there in their place when they do not know how to pray, prompting them. What a mercy it is if we sometimes find desires spring up in our heart and a liberty in prayer, a little freedom in prayer, a loosing of the shackles of our unbelief and our other sins. It's the Holy Ghost, it's not us. That's him making intercession. If ye shall ask anything in my name. The Lord may help me, I want to look next, in some measure, at this blessed name. The Lord Jesus says, my name. My name. Peter said, didn't he? There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. 'Tis a name above every name, the name of Jesus. Here we must begin. If ye shall ask anything in the name of him who shall save his people from their sins. If ye shall ask me, he says, to save you, I will, because that is my name. My name. How shall we ask in that name? God says, concerning all his people, and of course this must be done for us if we are to ask in this name, they shall know my name. They shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Jesus said of the Holy Ghost, he should take of mine and shall show it unto you. My dear friend, have you ever known? You remember just now I spoke of that favour, of a little real liberty in prayer. What was it that the Holy Ghost did for you, which gave you such liberty in prayer? Did he not reveal in some measure the name of Jesus to you? All the while you are thinking about your name, there could be no liberty in prayer. And perhaps You know what it is. I believe all the Lord's people do know it. They feel to come to the end of praying when the Lord shows them in a deeper measure what their name is. Supplanter, deceiver, legion, sinner. This blessed name. He is the person in whom God saves sinners. On account of who he is, on account of what he has done. And those are the two things, really, that I would just simply set before you with regard to this name. Who he is and what he has done. Firstly, he is the eternal Son of the eternal God. He is verily God. John Newton says, doesn't he? I could not rely on his name unless I were sure he were God. The things that you and I need doing, my dear friend, the things that you and I need to be given, only God can do, only God can give. We are ruined, undone, lost sinners. We deserve hell. Why? Because we have sinned against God. If ye shall ask anything in my name, the Son of God, the authority which he has, one with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. It is by his Son that God created all things. Have we forgot the almighty arm that formed the earth and sky? The almighty name, and can an all-creating arm grow weary or decay? Treasures of everlasting might in our Jehovah dwell. He gives the conquest to the weak and treads their foes to hell. Why? Because he is God. If ye shall ask anything in my name. But there is something particular I want to simply put before you. May the Holy Ghost bless it to you and to me. The Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus said, didn't he, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The liberty of the sons of God. Because God hath made his Son that way of approach unto him. And through him, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, taking our humanity without sin, without spot, without blemish, into union with his divine person. By him, sinners are favoured to receive the spirit of adoption. The returning prodigal had in his mind that he could get into his father's house as a servant. He felt he would be in a better condition there, and undoubtedly would. Because he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. But as he returned in brokenness of heart and contrition toward his father's house, his father was looking out and saw him when he was yet afar off, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. so that the Son could never say what he intended to say, make me as one of thy hired servants. Because that Son was a Son forever, in Christ Jesus, the eternal Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name. He was given the name Jesus at his birth, because that name particularly relates to him in his incarnate state. That state he did not always have, but what he came into when he was made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. My name. What a great thing the Son of God did when he became man. If ye shall ask anything in my name, could a greater thing have been asked of him than he who is God to become man? Still being God, but now man. And not only that, we must go on and speak of what this blessed person has done. Could anything more have been asked of him than to being made under the law, graciously, mercifully fulfill it, though he had no need of that fulfillment himself. He was doing it all for his people. They who could not keep God's law. This blessed person came that he might keep God's law for them. I came not to destroy the law, he said, but to fulfill it. And so he does. The lamb without blemish and without spot. And then that innocent lamb, that innocent man, the only innocent man this world has ever seen since Adam fell by transgression. He was innocent before, but he was corruptible. The only innocent, incorruptible man this world has ever seen. And there he is in the judgment hall, condemned, silent before his accusers, mocked, spat upon, ridiculed, crowned with thorns, clothed in scarlet, led forth to Golgotha without Jerusalem's gate, nailed to that accursed wood. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. If ye shall ask anything in my name, he shall save his people from their sins. The prophecy, he speaks himself, doesn't he, in the prophecy of Isaiah. He looked and there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. My name. You see, when this name is by the Holy Spirit revealed, when this person and his work, when this love of this person, this mercy, this grace, this faithfulness, this strength of this person, this willingness to save is set forth and preached into the heart by the Holy Ghost, the sinner is given liberty to ask in that name. Did Jesus come for a people that deserved him? No. Did he die for people who loved him? No. He died for his enemies. Paul says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more shall we be saved by his life. His name. You think of that name the spouse gave him. I was thinking of it earlier today. She was asked, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And what did she charge them? She charged them that if they knew where he was, they would tell her. And if they should meet him, they should tell him that she was sick of love. And they realized that this person, who this spouse was so eager to meet, must be a special person. And they said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And she said, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely. Oh, my dear friend, what hard work prayer is when we lose sight of the altogether loveliness of God in Christ. Oh, what a poor, dead religion that man in the parable had with the one talent, who said that his Lord was a hard, austere man. And so what did he do with his talent? He went and hid it in the earth. He never asked in Jesus' name. Why? He didn't know Jesus' name. He had the unbelieving view of God. He had the devil's view of God. He never had the Holy Spirit's view of God. If ye shall ask anything in my name, poor sinner tonight, you say, how can I ask when I'm a sinner like I am? Jesus doesn't say, if ye shall ask anything in your name. He says, in my name. You will never get anything from God in your name. But my dear friend, with Jesus, in Jesus' name, you'll get everything you possibly could want. Yea, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, and I've already hinted at it really, the name of Jesus, who he is, God and man, one glorious person, and what he has done, what does it all say? What does his name say? It says what the Father says of him in Isaiah 42, doesn't it? Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. He will do it. He will do it. That's the meaning of the name servant. He will do it. He will do his Father's pleasure. He will bruise the serpent's head. He will fulfill all righteousness. He will make atonement for sin. He will be that mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If ye shall ask anything in my name, in my name. But then there's another way in which the Lord Jesus Christ teaches his people to pray in his name. And that is the words that drop from his sacred lips. You know, the Lord, in dealing with each of his people, he brings them to esteem the words of Christ's mouth more than their necessary food. And by nature, we're all inclined to say things like this, aren't we? Well, Mr. So-and-so says so. Well, who is Mr. So-and-so? He's not God. He's not Jesus. He's not the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost. If ye shall ask anything in my name, if you ask in Jesus' name, you ask for the things that Jesus has said. You're relying on the words that Jesus has spoken. The Lord Jesus has said he will do this. I will ask for it. You're then asking in his name. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But then this name, in the way I've just briefly set it forth, it regulates what we ask. Perhaps there is someone here this evening and you've been asking for something. You hope you've been asking for it in the Lord's name. But you say, I'm so tried because the Lord doesn't give it me. Well, as I said earlier, it may be that the Lord is making you wait. But it may be that you're not actually asking in his name. And as I was thinking of this earlier, the name Master came to my mind. That is his name, isn't it? The Lord and Master of his people. And what is a master? He is that one who directs things. There is a servant and there is a master. We need to be kept, my dear friend, and we need to be delivered from thinking we're the master. Though the Lord gives us such a full and such a complete word here, it doesn't mean that we can of ourselves decide what we're going to have. We can of ourselves dictate to the Lord how he should answer our prayer. If we ask in his name, we have on the one hand a right view of our position in relation to him and his position in relation to us. And that is why if we ask in his name, we are at his feet. And there is no more blessed place because it is so safe. Except ye be converted, he said, and become as little children, feelingly knowing nothing, feelingly not having the wisdom to choose, and feelingly not understanding things. You see, this is the position praying souls are really in when they ask in Jesus' name. We may think we know what would be best for us, but we don't. But in Jesus' name, he shall save his people from their sins. It's clear he knows what is best for us. And not only that, the word of God makes it absolutely clear without any shadow of a doubt that he has always and will always do what is for the best for his people. And that is a tremendous thing when we consider what he did. So in this asking in his name, we are in our right place. And the Holy Ghost puts the Lord in his rightful place. I've often observed in the case of that woman of Canaan that her prayer did not attempt to prescribe to the Lord what he should do for her. Her prayer was very simple and very complete, but it was a very submissive prayer. Lord, help me. If you pray that prayer, my dear friend, in the Lord's name, he will help you. His name is the helper of the helpless. His father says of him, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. You know, very often, I might say invariably, the way the Lord teaches his people to pray like this is by bringing them to the end of their own wits so that it is impossible for them to prescribe to the Lord how he should answer their prayer. They come to their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And when you're at your wit's end, my dear friend, you've got below, prescribing to the Lord how he should answer your prayer. Lord, save me in thy way. You know, if we really ask in Jesus' name, and this is the other beautiful truth that came to me in a little meditation upon this text. We are committing everything into his hands. That's in his name. There are no co-saviors. There is just one. There is just one salvation. He looked and there was no man and wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him. He undertook the care and charge and promised they should walk at large and all his glory see. These are searching truths, my dear friend, though they are so blessed. Searching because I believe they give the biblical definition of this text. That's the one we need. God's own commentary is in his own book. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Just to consider a few scattered thoughts here really this evening. Just to consider a few of those names which the Lord Jesus gives himself, which are relevant in this matter of asking in his name. If ye shall ask anything, we have said he is God. You cannot ask too much of God. Consider, my dear friend, the cases of those dead people that Jesus raises to life. They're all like that. Those dry bones in the Ezekiel's vision. The Lord told Ezekiel, this is the whole house of Israel. Can these dry bones live? Lord, thou knowest. You see how Ezekiel is in this spirit. I've just been trying to set before you. Submissive to the Lord. Lord, thou knowest. We must have, my dear friend, given unto us a right view of the sovereignty of God. Without a right view of the sovereignty of God, we cannot possibly pray in Jesus' name. How sovereign God shows himself in the choice of a people and the giving of that people unto Jesus Christ. This was what I touched on in speaking of him as a son of God. Now, not everyone that calls upon the Lord in the name of Jesus knows they're a son of God. But if we ask in Jesus' name, we may ask that it might be so, that we might be a son of God. But only looking for it on the ground that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Only looking for it on the ground that God has sovereignly given a people to his Son. Lord, thou knowest. Prophesy unto these bones. And you know that was the gospel, really, that was preached to those dry bones. The Lord called the winds. That's the call, ascending of the Holy Ghost. And then now listen to the gospel in the words of the Lord that he gave to Ezekiel to preach to these dry bones. I will open your graves and bring you up out of your graves. I will put flesh upon you and sinews. I will put breath in you. I will put my spirit in you and ye shall live. If ye shall ask, is there a dry bone here tonight? That hearing this prophecy, hearing this gospel, finds it in your heart to pray, Lord, do for me what thou didst for those dry bones in Ezekiel's vision. Bone to his bone. For every dead bone of the church, there's a living bone of Christ. And they're brought together. Bone to his bone. Every dead eye, every dead hand, every dead mind, every dead heart, every dead soul. There's a living mind, there's a living heart, there's a living soul. The living eye, the living heart, the living mind, the living soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I would do it. He came and lay in the grave with his people. That's how it will be, spiritually speaking, mystically speaking, in the resurrection of the just from the graves in the last day. How will it be? Jesus has laid in that grave. The graves of all his saints he blessed. How? Lying there himself and rising victorious over that grave. If ye shall ask anything. Now this brings me to this point. If ye shall ask. Ask. It's a very simple word, isn't it? And it's a very simple thing. If our askings are complicated, they're not asking in Jesus' name. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so ye may be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. If ye shall ask, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, pardon me. Lord, rescue me. Deliver me. Raise me from the dead. If ye shall ask anything in my name. When you're dead, because of my name you may ask. The simplicity in that asking is this. Your hope is built on nothing less than him, his name, his blood, his righteousness. In your petition, when you ask in his name, you have a single eye. You don't ask him to raise you from the dead and then go about trying to raise yourself. If you shall ask anything, I am the resurrection and the life. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Thy great high priest, this is his name. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us draw near. Come with boldness to the throne of his grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In his office as high priest, he did two things. He offered himself a sacrifice. If you ask anything in this name of this great high priest, and what will you ask? You'll ask for forgiveness through that sacrifice which he has made. And then with that blood he shed, he entered into heaven. This is the second thing the high priest is still doing. He is speaking on behalf of his people in heaven. He is interceding for them. God the Father looks upon him. His Son says to him, Father, I will, that these also thou hast given me be with me where I am. He shall ask forgiveness in my name. I will do it. You see, it's like this, my dear friend. If we ask in faith in his name, he cannot say no. If he said no, that would make him unfaithful, and he's not unfaithful. And here is the place that the Lord causes his people to wait. We've said two times already this evening, sometimes the Lord's people have to wait for their answers, the Lord's answers. But they will have those answers. If no grace the Lord will give, I must lie down and die. And you see, even with regard to this trial of faith in asking, if you ask in Jesus' name, you're asking in the name of him who suffered the greatest trial of faith there ever was. And you find it recorded in Psalm 22. He cried, he pleaded with his father. His father hid his face. He felt forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? He could not save his people, but by walking that path, as his as he was made sin for his people, he must endure this. Remember, he shall save his people. What from? Hell. What is hell? The place of utter banishment from God. And Christ must on the cross, and did on the cross, pass through that. If ye shall ask anything, Jonah, eventually, by the Holy Ghost, he was brought to ask in Jesus' name. And when was it? When, by the grace of God, he came into the feeling sense of where he really was. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. In a tiny measure, Jonah was, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering what Jesus suffered on the cross. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. What do we hear next? Be saved. And the testimony is, salvation is of the Lord. Now, as I come to a close, I will do it. That's a tremendous thing. I've spoken of it in relation to the work that Christ did, the whole of it. But he speaks of this also in his people's experience. I will do it. Think of it, my dear friend. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, everyone that has an interest in the Saviour's words, it is finished, will also have an interest manifest in that work which Jesus Christ by the Spirit effects in their soul's experience. And I quoted it just now. If we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son when we are enemies, much more being saved, we should be much more being quickened, we should be saved by his life. I will do it. You say, I can't believe. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will give you faith. I can't repent. I will do it. I'm exalted to give repentance to Israel and remission of sin. I can't stop sinning. I will do it. I will stop you sinning. I will shed abroad my love in your heart. I'll give you a love to me, and that will cure the love of sinning. Moses said, I can't speak. God said to him, I have made man's mess. Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He was asking in Jesus' name, and he got the answer, didn't he? He had the answer in two ways. Firstly, the promise. You've no need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. My dear friend, if Jesus doesn't fight your battles, you'll lose. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And you see, this extends to everything. But mind you, when we're speaking of those providential things, when we're speaking of those things with regard to our bodies, our families, our circumstances, if ye shall ask anything in my name, Lord, if it is thy will that I am to go that way, make the way for me. If it is thy will that I should go through that door, open it for me. But Lord, if it's not thy will, close it. If it's thy will that this enemy shall be overthrown, do overthrow him. But Lord, if I must still suffer this enemy for a while, sanctify it to me. Let it do me good. As I come to a close on this point, the name of Jesus, he who himself said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, if you're asking in the name of Jesus, he is more important to you than the answer. Because, Lord, if thou grant me thyself, whatever else is in the answer, the affliction, the trial, the poverty, the loss. Lord, if thou art with me, it shall be well. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will answer you. I will work. I will bless. I will save. I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. As I come to a close, I think of how Mr. John Gosden once closed a sermon. After speaking of the gospel, that is what I've tried to do tonight, Mr. Gosden said, the alternative is hell. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will give you heaven. Amen. Mm-hmm.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 850. 850. Ye souls that trust in Christ, rejoice. Your sins are all forgiven. Let every Christian lift his voice and sing the joys of heaven. Hymn 850.
bless to us thy word. We thank thee for it. Lord, we are fools. We have to be told to ask. Lord, may thy word be effectual. We should not be only hearers of it, but doers also. Grant us each journeying mercies. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us now and forever. Amen.